Recorded live right here in Little Rock, Arkansas, it's time again for another show for Larry's Rants, Raves, and Reviews. Now here's Larry.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, folks, we've got quite the surprise for you tonight. This is completely off the map for us. Something that's going to be a real shock for you. The Little Rock Clock Guy, I can't hardly get that out. The Little Rock Clock Guy, he is in the studio tonight. You say, what in the world is that? Well, Ron Roberts, who is a REMAX realtor, REMAX Elite realtor, by day, he's also an antique clock repair guy by night. Now, I know Ron. I got to know him because he comes into Bobby's Country Cooking, our restaurant. He comes in and has lunch quite frequently. Randy, here it was, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. I was going through my desk and had a stack of business cards. I'm like, who in the world am I, you know, is through here? And actually, I was going through them trying to look at who could be a guest on the podcast.
Yeah.
And I happened to run across Ron's, and then right behind it was Antique Clock, another card. And I'm like, I forgot all about him doing that
Cool.
So I happen to have a little clock hanging on my wall that my grandparents had, and then my mom and dad had for years. Now it's hung on my wall for years. And I'm like, I'll be.
How about that?
I'm going to see if he can fix that for me.
How about that?
Guess what?
Yeah.
He did.
Good.
And he
and
delivered
he's
here. It. He's here. He delivered it tonight. So, Ron, welcome to the show. And we're going to have a conversation with Ron. Now, those of you that are listening or watching by video, it might just be that you have a clock that is in your garage, your attic. You know, some family heirloom that doesn't run anymore, kind of a thing. You may say, dang, I hadn't even thought of that. Well, tonight we're going to make you think about that. So, Ron, welcome to the show. And what in the world got you started into repairing clocks?
Well, thank you, Larry. Great to be here. The story of me beginning in clocks starts back when I was in the Army many, many years ago in Germany. And the warrant officer that I worked for had received some training from a German clockmaker and in turn started training me. And at the time, Germans wanted the modern look in their homes, chrome and glass and that sort of thing. They didn't want any brown wood. And so they were getting rid of all of that kind of thing. Hmm. And you could go into what we would call a sort of a swap meet or that sort of thing. And you could buy nice German antique clocks for a song.
Really?
And that's what this warrant officer had started doing. At the time, he had about 300 clocks. His plan was to buy them over there for nothing and bring them back to the United States when he retired and then sell them. So he started training me. Eventually, not too long later, I got out of the Army. Came back to go back to college in the Dallas area, and was a poor kid at the time, and needed a way to make some extra money. So there was a huge antique dealer east from Dallas. I drove out there one day. It's a giant metal building, and I walked in and looked around. He had lots of clocks, but they were all dirty. None were running. So I walked up front and asked to talk to the manager, and this guy comes out, and I say, I noticed you got a lot of clocks. Some of them are really nice, and if I fix those up for you, you could sell them for more money. And he said, we tried that, kid. It didn't work. Get out of here. But I was persistent, and finally he said, okay, follow me. And we go back into this giant room that was his trash room. There were broken furniture and glass and clock parts and cases laying all over the floor. And he gave me a big cardboard box and said, see if you can find enough parts to put together a couple of clocks. And I rummaged around in there for about 2 hours and walked out front with this big box and said, I think I found enough to put together a couple of clocks. He says, okay, bye. He didn't ask me my name. He didn't ask for any money. He thought I was carrying his trash away. Three weeks later, I showed up and hung three clocks on the wall and started the pendulums. He walked over and looked at him. Of course, he knew about clocks. He pulled one of the movements out. Of course, it was nice and clean. He looked at me and says, "What do you want to charge for this?" So that's how I helped pay my way through college after I came back out to service.
Really?
And after that, it was sort of a hobby. I did it for family and friends. And occasionally someone would hear about me by word of mouth and I would do it. But, you know, not a lot. And then probably 15 years ago, my wife and I had a gift shop here in Little Rock. And there was a nice room in the back. And so I told my wife, "Hey, I can set up my clock stuff here and see if we can perhaps earn a little extra money." And I advertised one time in the newspaper. And after that, it was just word of mouth. And I repaired, on average, about 100 clocks a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Which at the time seemed like a lot.
Wow.
But since I've retired, which was in 2019 for my so-called real job, and told my wife I hate being bored, I said, "So I'll make a little business out of this clock thing, and I'll have one or two clocks a week, just something to do." And since 2019, I'm married to an accountant, by the way, so I have to keep good records. So I looked at my records before this, and since 2019, I've repaired over 2,000 clocks.
Wow.
Good grief.
And most of those in my shop, but then I also do a lot of grandfather clocks, and I go to people's homes. I mean, you can't move a grandfather clock. So I go to people's homes and service the grandfather clocks in their homes. So I'm doing something I really like. It's a special skill that hardly anybody else seems to have.
Well, I was going to say, there's not too many of you just, you know, around, correct?
There's not. In fact, I got a call today from a lady in Fort Smith that just moved there with a grandfather clock, and it was all disassembled for the move, and she needs someone to put it back together. And I told her, I said, "You know, that's a long way, and I've gone that distance before, but I do charge a travel fee." And she said, "Not a problem." And so here next week, I'm going up to Fort Smith.
Well, there you go.
Work on a grandfather clock.
Wow.
Yeah, I told my wife I hate being bored.
Is your wife retired?
She is retired.
So, if, you know, a couple of road trips like that from on occasion, you know.
Yeah.
Well, tie in a day or two worth of some fun.
Yeah, well, if I go someplace fun, she wants to shop.
Yeah.
Then she comes along.
Spend his repair money, is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Look at how quiet he got. He's like, she may listen to this. We better back off of that.
I'm not going to tell her about it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, back in 2019, when I retired, I had no idea there was going to be this much clockwork. And again, I hate being bored. I don't hunt, fish, or play golf. And so thinking I would need something to keep me busy, I told my wife, "Hey, I'm going to get a real estate license." So I went through real estate school and got a license. And so now I'm also helping people buy or sell property.
Okay.
And so I've achieved my goal. I am not bored.
There you go. The Army buddy that you said got you into this, did you ever keep track of him and what he did with all those clocks and all?
I did not.
No?
So,
well, that's too bad.
I had a lot of good friends in the Army, and they've all disappeared except one, which is kind of interesting. So my name is Ron, and my middle initials are, so it's three R's.
Okay.
And this guy's named John J. Janiak, so he's three J's. And he moved back to Boston. And during my previous professional job, I traveled a lot and would go to Boston, so I would see him periodically. Okay. So I did keep up with him, but all the rest are just gone.
Well, it would be an interesting story to find out if he made his fortune off of all those clocks. And now, isn't Germany known for top quality clocks or not?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Is it German or the Swiss?
This was in Germany.
Okay, but is of the clocks, which would you say is better, the German clocks or the Swiss?
French.
French. Oh, right. Okay.
So just like everything else, there's a wide range of quality, and so at the low end of quality, interestingly, are the movements that are in cuckoo clocks. I mean, cuckoo clocks are all about the little bird and the wood carving.
Yeah.
and the music that they play, some of them. But the movements that are in cuckoo clocks are, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're about a 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have some really top-notch German clocks. So, as I said, there's a wide range. One of the most famous German clockmakers is a guy named Gustav Becker. He was a clockmaker from the mid-1800s up to early 1900. But there are other really high-quality German clockmakers.
Didn't you know him, Larry?
Yeah.
I thought you did.
You're older than I am, so.
Gustav.
Yeah, he was a famous guy, but he was lost to history. And in fact, just something like 25 years ago, they hunted and found his burial site.
Wow.
So, and he has a big monument.
Okay.
Was there a clock on it?
There was not.
Seriously?
There was not.
I'd think I'd want one.
I would too.
We're going to put a crappie out on yours. So.
Of course.
Well, let me ask you, do you collect clocks yourself?
You know, people ask me that all the time because they'll walk. So I work from my home in my garage, and I have a nice work area there. So people walk in and they see all these clocks on the shelves and hanging on the wall. And they ask me, how many clocks do you have? And I go, well, let me think, 7 or 8. And only one of them is running.
Hey, I know a guy that repairs them.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, they will run. It's just that my wife doesn't want them running.
Well, you know, that's kind of like, you know, Randy's a builder, and most guys that are builders or do remodels and things, they're the their home's the last one to get built or fixed.
No,
so,
well,
you know, yeah. So it's kind of the...
Yeah, that's interesting.
I can take you through this house and show you about 10 things on this floor that's broke. It never got done.
Yeah, I was just talking to Randy earlier, and my daughter, my granddaughters just graduated from Mount St. Mary. They're about to go off to college, and they want to have a nicer home on a golf course. And I was telling Randy, I've got to introduce them.
There you go.
Maybe a little business for Randy.
Yeah.
Apparently he's good at, with punch lists. There's 10 things broken up here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm gonna grab this little clock. And those of you that are watching by video, you might see this in my hand. This is my little clock. And we may even have a video that we could splice in here. This is a little clock that started all this. And this belonged to my grandparents on my dad's side. And so then when they passed away, and I really don't know when, let's see, I was probably, it would have been back in the early 70s when they passed away. And so then my parents got it and hung this on their wall. And then when my parents passed away, I just got it and drove a nail in my little wall and hung it. It's in a place. And it's really something that you could walk by. It's close to our refrigerator. And you could just probably just walk by it and not even notice it. And it hasn't ran in years. Mm-hmm. So I said, I called Ron. And I said, hey, can you look at this thing? I sent him a picture. He said, sure. I can take care of it. So he took this thing all apart.
I clean the move in my ultrasonic cleaner.
In your ultrasonic cleaner, okay. Kind of like a jeweler, I guess. And cleaned it up, oiled it, put it back together, sent me a video and said, well, here it is. It's running.
How about that?
And so I can't wait to go home. I didn't even have a key to wind it up. So he had to get me a key for it. And so that's what kind of started this whole thing. And I said, well, Ron, this sounds like fun. Let's do a podcast and tell people about you. And I hope that people are listening. And those of you watching by video, again, if you've got something, a clock somewhere that's a family heirloom, and really this is priceless to me. Mm-hmm. But also, Ron, tell them, I asked you if you had any history on this, and you said that you could put something like this on a website and start getting information. Can you elaborate on that a minute?
Yeah, so I'm a member of this organization called the National Association of Watch and Clock Collectors, and there are people that know a lot more about clocks all over the world. And frequently, when I have something that I think is unique or something I don't know about, I'll post on their forum. You can post pictures and questions. And within a day, I get answers from people all over the world that go, yeah, that clock was such and such and such builder and this date. And
wow.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah, your little clock is what's known as a novelty clock. This was made by an American company that, as best I can learn from my research, went into business in 1910. And they made several different versions of these little, as they call them, novelty clocks.
Yeah.
Including, I'm told, or at least the research I did, said that they make even a miniature version of a cuckoo clock. And so that movement is a little simple, what's called a balance wheel movement. Even though it has a pendulum, its pendulum is not what's running it. It's a little balance wheel movement.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably the reason that it didn't run for almost ever.
Yeah.
Is why the movement is still in good shape.
Okay. Okay. So, well,
do you do any pocket watch repair?
I don't, but I've recently discovered a person who claims to be an expert in that area.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I never learned how to do smaller watches, and I don't have the tools for that.
Yeah.
So, but I do, people do call me with that from time to time, and so I refer them to.
I've got one of those pocket watches that's has the glass around it, and it's in a little casing, you know, it came way back from the family, and I don't think it works. So I've been kind of wanting to get it repaired sometime.
Well, I'll give you a name.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, let's take a break. Let's go to a commercial, and then we'll come back. And I've got actually a surprise for Ron when we do, and we'll see if he knows what I'm actually going to show him.
Okay.
When your event is catered by Bobby's Country Cooking, it's like coming home to eat. And Bobby's makes it easy. 224-9500 for the best home-style catering available with desserts to die for. The food you love for your next gathering. Bobby's Country Cooking, Little Rock.
Okay, we're back, folks, and we're having some fun talking to Ron about clocks. Now, Ron, I've got something here as a surprise I mentioned right before we went to a commercial break.
Now, Larry, you didn't warn me there was going to be a surprise.
Well, you know, I did not. Have you ever seen one of these?
I've seen similar clocks.
Okay. This, again, was my grandparents', and it's dusty and dirty. It's honestly been in storage. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to get it out and clean it up and just simply set it. I probably won't plug it in. Now, here it is. My grandparents had this clock as well. They were ordained ministers. Hmm. They pastored throughout the country, but their last pastorate was in Berry Hill, Oklahoma, which is a suburb of Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this for years, and it meant a lot to my dad. And so when they passed away, they had this out in a little sunroom. Kind of probably that's why it's kind of turns to yellow and all, mm-hmm. But in a sunroom, and it sat there and ran nonstop. I mean, for years.
Wow, man, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. I have no idea how old it is. It's obviously an electric clock. It looks like a church, and the little guy on the inside there, that window, mm-hmm. is pulling a rope.
Right.
And the bell moves back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my other little clock that you fixed for me was made by Keebler Novelty Clocks, and it started back in 1910. I have no idea where this clock came from and how old it is.
Well, I can take a picture of it and post it on this forum, and people will tell us.
That's why I brought it. Seriously, because I'd like to know. Now, I did Google around, and I didn't have time to really read it or anything, but I actually have seen one. It looked taller than this one. And it was snow white like it's supposed to be. But anyway, so I'd like to just know some more about it. But I'm going to clean it up a little bit better and just probably put it in my office there at home. And like I said, probably not plug it in. I'll just leave it like it is. Mm-hmm. And
so it's yellowed a little bit from age.
Right.
So don't paint it.
No, I won't. I won't touch it. I really won't.
A lady called me one time and said, I'm redecorating my home and my theme is black and white. And I've got this clock, and she sent me a picture. It's like a 3-foot tall American clock from just before 1900. And she goes, would you paint this case black for me? And I said, no, because I'm a clock purist.
There you go. Well, now that's interesting because my mother, she was the kind that, boy, I'll tell you, our living room got painted more than anything. I guess if Mom got bored, she would go buy a couple of gallons of paint and just paint the living room. It was always changing colors when I was a kid. Randy, did your mom do that?
Nope.
Well, mine did.
Not that I remember.
And what was funny is that she had this big starburst on the wall, and it had a little round mirror, probably about 10 inches in diameter, right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And it was a starburst of some kind. And then it had two sconces, candle sconces. Those were real popular back then. And I swear, I don't know what possessed her, but every time she painted the walls, she painted those. And what was funny is she painted them the same color.
Hmm. They blended in.
They blended right in. And then she had this pair of lamps. And I swear to God, guys, she painted the lamps.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Those lamps had to have weighed probably 30 pounds by the time she got done, mm-hmm. you know, with generations of painting them. And we always, as we grew up, we laughed. We're like, Mom, you paint the walls, then you paint the sconces and the mirror, and then you paint the lamps. And they all matched. But that was just Mom. I remember mm-hmm. turquoise, baby blue, white, yellow. You name it. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was just one that painted everything. So, no, I don't paint any kind of antiques. I used to refurbish and repair antiques.
Oh.
Matter of fact, as a clock story, I'll give you this. I was born in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and raised in Baxter Springs, Kansas, okay? Mm-hmm. And I found a guy that, like you just talked about your story, you found a clock that was in a cardboard box. And you didn't know if it was all there or not. Mm-hmm. This was the old clock that hung in the old high school, junior high, back when I was a kid and well beyond, or, you know, earlier than that. And it had gotten just, I guess, broken up or something and put down in the boiler room is what he said. Mm-hmm. He found it. I got it somehow. I don't even remember if I bought it, if he gave it to me or what. And so I started putting the pieces back together and realized it was an octagon, okay, mm-hmm. With the pendulum down at the bottom. And two of the pieces of the oak was missing. Mm-hmm. So I found some oak that matched up pretty good and a router, and I fixed it all up and everything, glued it all back together and, you know, made the clock. And it actually, somebody back home in Kansas took it and cleaned it and everything, oiled it up for me, and it worked really good, kept good time.
So this clock was maybe 10 or 15 inches in diameter, sort of?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, so that style of clock is called a gallery clock.
Okay.
And I'm not aware that any American clockmakers ever made that style.
Really?
So they usually come from England.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I was silly enough that I got in the mood, you know, as you do, you get, you know, as you age and your style changes and everything. We went through the antique phase and the different things, and so then we went into a more modern home. It just didn't fit. I don't know why I didn't keep it and put it in my office. It actually meant something to me, mm-hmm. but I think somebody came along with a pocket full of cash and said, here, I'll buy this from you, and I finally said, okay, and I told them the story. Mm-hmm. And I wish today that I still had it, you know?
So you made me think of two things. People sometimes, I have limited, woodworking skills. I mean, I can glue things back together but people come to me with clock cases and grandfather clock cases that are in ill repair.
Oh.
And I've had the opportunity here in the last couple of years to meet a guy who is, I think, the preeminent restorer of antique furniture in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
And he lives 10 minutes away from me. So if there are any people out there that need that kind of thing, I can certainly refer them to someone who's excellent, really excellent.
He can do the woodwork and you do the clockwork.
Right.
Okay.
Do you know Pat Danworth at Danworth Jewelers on Rodney Parham?
I know of those people. I've never met them.
Yeah, I know Pat, and they sell... Of course, they sell all new.
Right.
They sell new. You go in their store, and it's just beautiful grandfather clocks there and all different kind of clocks. Of course, they sell jewelry too.
Right. But, and I know they used to repair clocks, but I understand, I've heard that the person that did that is no longer repairing clocks.
Yeah.
One other thing, Larry, you made me think, you're talking about your mother, and yesterday was Mother's Day, so I have to tell my mother's story.
Okay.
My mom had a plaque in her kitchen that said, "Live long enough to be a burden to your children." And she did it.
Well, I'm not going to touch that, Ron. Everybody loves their mama, but matter. I'm going to leave it there and walk away.
You better, Larry.
Yeah, I better walk away. I love my mama.
This dude was lightning out there a while ago. The rain's not over yet.
Well, Ron, let me re-steer this ship and try to go away from all that. What is the oldest clock that you've repaired?
The oldest clock I repaired was an English grandfather clock that had the maker's name and the city he worked in on the face of the dial. So I was able to research it. I've got some really nice books that talk about antique clockmakers and that sort of thing. Anyway, this clock was made in 1691.
Oh, my.
And it's, when I worked on it, when I walked out, it was still ticking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do you find parts for those? You have to make them or
you
what?
You don't, which leads me to another interesting story.
Yeah.
So something like 27 years ago, I was repairing a clock, and it had a gear with some teeth knocked off of it. And this organization I mentioned, National Association of Watch and Clock Collectors, they have a magazine that comes out monthly, and in the back, people advertise for different things. And there was this advertisement for this guy that said, "I make clock parts." So I called him. He's in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Mike. And I said, "Hey, I've got this, this gear, and, you claim you can do this work, so I'm going to send this to you, and if you do a good job, then we'll continue doing business down the road." Sure enough, I sent it to him. He made a brand new gear and sent it back. I put it in the clock. It worked great. And since that time, I've literally done business with him multiple times every year because people bring me an old clock like that you can't buy parts for, and something be broken or even missing. And I send it off to him, and he makes something new. And we've had a great business relationship for over 25 years now.
What's the most expensive clock you've ever worked on?
So the most expensive clock I worked on, I've got a friend here in town. Actually, we went to church together. He called me up one time and said, "Hey, my dad just passed away, and I'm getting some clocks that he had." And one of them's really nice, and I don't trust the mover, so I want you to come move it for me. So I went over, and it's a grandfather clock that's only about 6 foot tall, so it's not a big one. And it looked different than any clock I'd seen before. Long story short, it turns out this clock is a custom clock made for his father when his father lived in Australia.
Oh, wow.
And the guy who made the clock is a famous clockmaker. That's still in business and has a website. And so my buddy got a hold of this guy and talked to him and sent him a picture of this clock and said, "Tell me about this clock." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I made that clock when I was in Australia. There's only three of that particular clock."
Wow.
And he had somebody make the case for him out of some exotic wood that you can only get in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made the movement, which is just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is scribed on the,
how about that,
nice like jewelry scribing on the back.
Yeah.
And so my friend said, is this clock valuable? Should I have it insured? And he said, "Well, as a matter of fact, yes, you should." And he goes, "Well, for how much?" And he says, "Well, if you had to replace that case today, it would probably cost you about $30,000. And if you replace the movement, I would make that movement again for $45,000.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow, my goodness.
Yeah, holy cow.
And you're the one that got hired to move it?
and fix it.
I'll charge you $10,000 to move it.
No joke. I'd buy an insurance policy of some kind. Well, now, Ron, you walked in the studio tonight and you gave us a couple of pictures, and Randy's going to put these up. So those of you watching by video, you can actually see what we're talking about. A couple of pictures. Wow. And man, the movements are completely in a bunch of parts. You've got a housing that's in a bunch of parts. So where did this clock come from? Was it local or?
Yeah, so those are actually two different clocks. But the housing or the case that's all in parts, a lady came in, and that was her mother's clock, or grandmother's, in Puerto Rico, and had gone through a hurricane, which is why it's all in pieces.
Yeah.
And she said, can you fix this? And so I did, and there's a video I have that you guys can put up that shows this thing finished and working.
Yeah.
Cool. So now this other clock, you see all the pieces. That's a clock that's actually was made in Austria in 1820. And I can also give you a picture of the finished clock.
Yeah.
And it's what's known as a Grand Signori. So there are Petit Signoris and Grand Signoris. Mm. So clocks that play chimes on the quarter hour and then strike the number of hours on the hour are known as a Petit Signori. Now, a Grand Signori is every quarter hour will it not only play, a special chime or a little melody, it will also strike the number of hours. So anywhere in the clock, every 15 minutes, you don't have to see it. You can hear it and know what time it is. That clock, by the way, is also nicknamed as a blind man's clock.
Oh.
Because,
okay.
That person can't see, but they can hear the clock.
Right.
Well, see, I was telling Randy that my parents had two old antique, I call them antique clocks, hanging on the wall. Mm-hmm. One of them chimed, I know, on the half hour and the hour. The other one just chimed on the hour. And we would go back to visit, and it would just drive my wife and different family members crazy because they lived in this old ranch-style home, and the living room, there were two bedrooms just off the living room, I never heard it. She's like, how can you sleep through that? And I said, those clocks have been hanging on the wall my entire life. So when we come back to visit, I'm just home. You know what I mean?
Right.
So anyway, it kind of drove people crazy, and they would get up, and all it'd make my dad so upset because they would get up in the middle of the night and stop the pendulum, right. And he would just be so upset, you don't mess with my clocks, right. And I'm like, I didn't do it, Dad. I can sleep through it all, so.
Yeah, people have clocks that chime. Get used to it. It just becomes part of the background noise.
Right.
They don't even hear it anymore.
Hey, I'm having fun enough that let's go to another commercial and we're going to come back for one more segment, okay?
Okay.
Bobby's Country Cooking. It's like Sunday after church at Grandma's, except it's Monday through Friday, 10:30 to 2. Homestyle cooking with generous portions, entrees, sides, and desserts to die for. Dine in or get it to go. We're in the West Chase Plaza at the corner of Shackelford and Markham. Bobby's Country Cooking.
All right, folks, we're back. And Ron, we were talking about, before we went to commercial break, about a couple of pictures, and we showed the viewers that are on video a box of parts. So let me ask you, do people ship you clocks, or how does that work?
I've chosen not to be in that part of the business. I know there are companies that do it. So clocks that are, people can carry, they bring to me.
Okay.
Grandfather clocks. I do go to people's houses. I don't like to see people try to move a grandfather clock.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. So I go to people's houses to perform the service. And my typical service is I remove the movement from the clock case. I take the hands and face off so I can see the entire movement. I clean the old dirty oil out of the pivot areas, make any adjustments that are needed. Then I oil the movement with new professional clock oil, put it all back together, put it in the case, make sure it operates properly, and then answer questions that people may have. And frequently people do have a lot of questions because they may have inherited the clock and they don't know its history or how to work it or how to keep it going. And so I spend time, patiently answering questions, showing them what they need to know.
Right. So I would then say that the 2,000 clocks that you've repaired since retirement has basically been in the central Arkansas area.
It has. I do travel amazingly. I've been to Cabot. I go to Cabot probably every other month. I've been to Searcy, I've been to Jonesboro, I've been to Memphis, I've been east of Memphis in the Germantown area. I've been down to Pine Bluff and south of there. So I go around the state. I mean, just yesterday, a lady called me from Fort Smith, and she just moved there and moved a grandfather clock, and it had been disassembled for movement, and she doesn't know anything about how to put it together, and said, would you come as far as Fort Smith? And I said, well, yeah, I've been as far as Jonesboro recently, so I could come to Fort Smith. And, you know, I do charge a travel fee when I have to travel outside of Little Rock, but generally people are understand that. They're happy to pay for that.
Now, Ron, you and your wife are both retired, and you do this. So let me ask you this. If someone's listening to this in Hawaii and they wanted you to come and repair a clock, you would certainly do it, right?
I'd love to go to Hawaii. If they'll put me on a first class plane to Hawaii, I'll go there.
First class? I'll go in the luggage car, the luggage area to Hawaii, man. I'm sorry. I just had to do that. So
you made me think of something. You mentioned box of parts.
Yeah.
This lady called me one time and said, hey, I've got a clock. Would you look at it? And I said, well, certainly. So she walks in and she has a box, not uncommon. Sometimes people put their clocks in boxes. And I set it down on a workbench and I opened the top and looked in, and there's all the parts. Wow. And I said, what's this? And she said, well, I watched this YouTube video.
Oh, no.
I thought I could repair this clock. And she said, but then when I took the plates apart, the springs just went everywhere. And she goes, can you put this back together for me? And I said, if I had seen it before you took it apart and
there you
knew how it was supposed to go back together, yeah, I could do that, but not now. And so that brings up an interesting point. So I work on a lot of American clocks, a lot of German clocks, French clocks, some from Japan and some from South Korea. And there's so many. I mean, fundamentally, how a clock works is sort of universal, but how that's implemented in the design is all over the map.
Really? Okay.
I mean, a guy back when I had the gift shop, a guy walked in one day with an American clock from the 1900s by the maker Ansonia. And he goes, can you fix this clock for me? And I said, yeah, I've fixed lots of Ansonia clocks. And I said, if you've got a minute, we'll just look at it. So I pulled the movement out and looked at it. I looked at him and I said, I've never seen this movement in my life. So there's just, I mean, you think about these American clockmakers, for example, they're in business from the late 1800s up to early 1900s. And during that time, every clock company had different clockmakers that came and went. And every new one that showed up thought they had a better idea. Hmm. And so the variation in how the clock movements are implemented, like I said, vary all over the map. And some of those guys had better ideas, and some of them had really crummy ideas.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Right. Well, I think it would be a fun thing to be involved with. And honestly, I would have to think that most of the clocks are probably inherited. You know, I got two clocks sitting right here that came from my grandparents mm-hmm. down to my parents, and now they're to me. And so they mean something to me. Neither one of them are of great value.
Right.
It's certainly not the $75,000 clock that we heard about. But it's just fun to say, hey, yeah, my grandparents had that clock.
That's a very common situation. People walk in with a clock, and it belonged to their grandparents.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, I used to go visit my grandparents, and I listened to this clock tick all the time. And
right.
I love, you know, my parents are not with us any longer. Or my grandparents aren't here, and love to have this clock working. And it's like you, it's sentimental value, right?
Right.
Unfortunately, in today's world, you know, young people don't like antiques as a rule, and that includes antique clocks. So antique clocks don't hold the value that they held 20 years ago.
Right.
But most of the time, people don't care about that. They have that memory.
Yeah. Right.
They want that memory back.
Well, and, you know, as generations change from time to time, That will roll back around.
It will.
You know, it really will. Mm-hmm. Everything comes full circle, and there will pop up that generation. I don't know if we're looking at the right one now or not, mm-hmm. but there will be that generation that steps up and says, well, you know, I mm-hmm. like that. I yeah. like that antique stuff.
So just the other day, somebody asked me, why are you a realtor? Why did you become a realtor? And my answer is the same answer with the clock business. It's because I like making people happy. So just like you with your little clock.
Yeah.
Hadn't run forever.
Yeah.
People walk in my shop all the time with a clock. They say, God, this clock's been sitting around for 6 years, or this was my grandparents and it hadn't worked forever. I'd love it if it could work. And they come back in 2 or 3 weeks and it's hanging on the wall working and they're happy.
Sure.
And that makes me happy.
And you know, I'm going to take this home. I'm going to wind it, hang it on the wall. Mm-hmm. You say it has to be wound every day.
Right.
I can promise you that's not going to happen.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to run it for one day or so and then be happy with it. And my wife's probably going to say, I don't like that little ticking noise that it makes. And so it'll probably sit there and may not be wound until somebody comes to visit. And I'll say, hey, look at my little clock. We got it fixed.
Well, fortunately, your clock doesn't tick very loudly.
No, it doesn't. But it does have just a little tick. It seems like the pendulum just goes really fast in comparison to what right. it probably should. But,
well, because it's short.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
That's it? All yeah. right.
So one, you just reminded me of another story, the ticking. So I have a clock customer that has battery-operated clocks. And the battery movement that you can put a clock, there's two different types. There's one that's step-by-step, and so it ticks. And the other is called continuous sweep, and it doesn't make a sound. And this lady has migraines, which I can identify with because I used to have migraines. One of the few good things about growing older is that most people, when they grow older, migraines sort of disappear, mm-hmm. and mine have. But she said that she's so sensitive to sounds that the little tick that those battery-operated movements make,
oh.
she couldn't handle.
Okay.
And she asked me to replace those with continuous sweep movements, which I did.
Okay. So you've done a lot of things for a lot of people, made them happy and all that, so... I've thoroughly enjoyed the show tonight, and I'll tell you what, let's do this as a little marketing thing. Anybody in Central Arkansas or in Arkansas, a perfect place to find Ron Roberts, the Little Rock Clock Guy. He's on Facebook. What else do you have?
You can Google Clock okay. Repair Little Rock or Clock okay. Repair near me.
All right.
You'll find me.
And so then what we can do is Ron will set it up to where you bring him your clock at Bobby's Country Cooking.
There you go.
You come bring it in, and that way he can pick up your clock. That's where he picked mine up, Randy.
Yeah.
So you get some fried chicken and a clock repair, you know, to boot. And so, Ron, it's been fun to have you on the show, and we hope that anybody that is looking for a clock repair will give you a call. Reach out to him on Facebook. A lot of people do that, he said. So, folks, thanks for joining in with us. This has been something completely off the wall. You didn't expect to hear a podcast about clock repair, right?
I had fun.
Oh, we had a ball. So, hey, have a great day.